Tan and J-Man Show Nation, we are back with another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show. The college football playoff was announced last night, all 12 teams. We got that to talk about. We got NFL. We have an insanely massive Major League Baseball deal that was signed last night. Purdue has a new coach. We got a lot to talk about tonight. How you doing there, T-Dog?
Yeah, we also got college hoops. It's kind of crazy, you know, we're getting into conference play now. Well, at least for the time being, but it kind of feels like it's on the back burner.
Kind of does
right now, just because there's so much going on. Yeah. But that's a good thing. I'd rather be a ton going on to be talked about than vice versa. Kind of when we get in the dog days of summer sometime.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it was a pretty insane weekend with news and notes and games and all of that. So a lot to cover tonight.
Yeah, when it comes to, and I guess maybe we should do birdie or bogey before this, but when it comes to Juan Soto's deal, did you think a number like that was coming?
No.
I didn't either. I thought it would be big. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I never thought it was going to be $735 million.
Yeah, that's absurd.
Dang.
He's 26 years old, elite level hitter. He'll likely be a DH in 2 or 3 years, and he doesn't pitch. That was the thing that you could say with Shohei when he got his $700 million was,
All right,
$350 million to the hitter, $350 million to the pitcher. Okay, that makes sense in my brain. $765 million for a guy. There have been like 10 different announcements. It was 35, 45, 65. I even saw it could get up to 85. So who the heck knows what the actual figure is. But 15-year deal.
No way he sees them that deal.
No. And Major League Baseball deals, those end so poorly. Which, I mean, it makes sense, even more so than any other sport, just because your reaction time gets, you know, worse. You're not staying as healthy as often, but you're paying for those first 6-7 years, and you can deal with the bad at the end of the deal if it wins you a title or two. Cohen with the Mets, he's going to throw some money around to do whatever it takes to get a World Series title. And I saw Brian Cashman today said the Mets went above and beyond where we were comfortable going, and they went above and beyond where anyone was comfortable going. I thought we'd see a deal over 500. I mean, sure. I thought that was a pretty easy to get over that. But then I saw late last week, this could get, you know, in the 600. And I'm like, we're talking 700 mil. It sets a standard now for these superstar players, and it's not a great precedent that it is set, because no one's worth 765 million, regardless of what you do. It'll be interesting to see what happens should, you know, he only have a good year or two, and then he starts tapering off, which I don't think he will. I mean, he's that good of a hitter, but it'll be fascinating to watch, because they turn on you quick in New York.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not living up to the billing. I mean, they were all over Francisco Lindor because he had not really performed well. I mean, he performed well, but not up to their standards, and he had a really good year this year and kind of turned things around. But they were not liking him too much. So lofty billing, and it ratchets up the Subway rivalry there.
Well, you know, I was talking to my wife about it last night, and she's like, where's the line going to be drawn? I mean,
exactly.
You know, and I'm like, I don't know. Every time I think there's a line they won't pass, they pass it. So
I thought no one was getting Shohei money ever again.
Yeah.
And a guy
next
that
year.
Only
the next year.
Yeah, I don't even know who's a free agent next year. I don't know of anyone that would even be worth it at this point.
Well, what I was saying is just only the next year after Shohei gets that contract, and you said nobody, you know, you didn't think anybody, the very next year somebody surpasses it. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone saw that coming. You know, I've been all over the Cubs for not even being mentioned in the talks with Soto, and I would have loved to have seen them giving him $765 million, because it's not my money, but I definitely understand why they weren't even involved.
He's a good player, don't get me wrong, but you can divide that money up and get 5, 6, 7, 8 good players.
Yeah, it's obviously Steve Cohen is not worried about any sort of luxury tax or anything like that. And the most ridiculous part of this is there's no deferred money. I mean, you look in L.A., they're deferring 90% of their money. We're going to worry about it in 10 years.
Yeah, right, right.
And honestly, the president of the Dodgers would be like, it's not my problem because in 10 years I'm not going to be here.
Right,
so who cares?
Right.
They're giving him no deferred money. They say no deferred, but it seems like there's got to be some deferred.
Some clause in there somewhere. But
they can opt out. I think it's the Mets can opt out. I need to not read the contract. I'm not a lawyer or anything like that. But I want to say I read on Twitter there is like a clause where either he can opt out, which he'll never opt out.
Right.
Or the Mets can opt out after his age 29 season. I might be completely wrong on that. That would make sense if he's not performing to that point. Because once you hit, 30, 31, that production declines. You see what happened with Mike Trout. I mean, the moment he hit 30, he couldn't stay healthy, hasn't been nearly as good. It's been countless other, players that has happened to. And it'll be interesting to see. I'm really excited. I mean, I'm always excited for baseball season, but it'll be fascinating to watch. Only 26 years old. I mean, you figure he's got four more years of prime at least, and you'll be paying him $50 million when he's 40 years old. So,
well, and somebody who cheers for the Yankees, I just got to hope somehow it backfires on the Mets somehow.
Right.
And they still don't make the World Series, let alone win a World Series.
There's too many people that like the Mets that aren't Mets fans, much like too many people like the Yankees that aren't Yankees fans or Dodgers.
That's fair.
It'll be fun to root against. Juan Soto's a fairly likable player.
Yes.
I mean, he does that Soto shuffle that kind of gets under your skin at times. But other than that, he's a pretty good guy, it seems like.
And I think part of it, maybe this is just the Yankee in me, I think part of it, he didn't want to be in Judge's shadow. He wanted to go somewhere where he could be the main guy.
Could be, which he's been the main guy pretty much his whole career. You know, he was the main guy in Washington once Harper left, and he was he and Tatis kind of battled it out for the main guy in San Diego. But I don't know if that played a factor. I don't think it would. I think the money played the factor the most. I did read something today that there was some issues behind the scenes with some security guards not like letting some of his family go to some areas, or his personal chef not go to some areas. And I saw something today. I was like, George Costanza must have been the Yankee employee then, because that'd be a classic George Costanza.
Yes, it would.
So I don't know if any of that's true.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it just comes down to the money. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. I mean, good for him, I guess. Get it if you can, but it's just wild that we're talking about that in 2024. It'll be interesting 6 years from now when it's 2030, what kind of contract we're talking about.
I mean, we're not that far away from billion-dollar deals.
I know.
At this point.
I know.
We're creeping up on it. I don't even know who would be the next billion-dollar guy. I mean, you have restrictions in the NFL where you can't pay a quarterback $1 billion. It's kind of stay within the salary cap. And I wish Major League Baseball – I know the luxury tax is their form of a salary cap. I wish they would have sort of a hard cap like they do in the NFL where it levels the playing field significantly more and you have teams that aren't going out and spending a ton of money because you have a couple big free agent classes, and then, okay, we need to kind of cut things down a little bit. And it makes for a more interesting offseason for one, because guys are signing like right away. You have the legal tampering period and all of that. And I think the NFL offseason does it the best.
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. 100%. Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's get it to the birdie or bogey. This might be one of the latest times we've ever done the birdie or bogey during a podcast.
Less, that's all right. Less time for me to think about it might be better.
Might be beneficial to you. Yeah. And I got to give my dad a shout out for this one. He assisted with this trivia today, which he likes to do. He's retired now. He has more time on his hands. Let's see here. Since 1992, There have been three different teams who have had four Heisman Trophy winners. Name all three.
92, there's been three different teams with four? I mean, that's 12 of the... I guess we were born in 92. I should be able to do this.
12 of the 30.
12 of the 32.
32, yeah. Not 30, 32. Yeah. Like to wish I was 30 again.
I know. That's a good question. I have no idea. I mean, I'm probably going to get one.
Because it is Heisman Trophy weekend coming up.
It is.
Who do you think's going to win it? Who do you think should win it?
It's going to be Travis Hunter. Right. He plays on both sides of the ball. Good at both. I think it should be Ashton Diante. I mean, he is one of the best running back seasons ever. I think he's fourth all time in rushing yards in a season. And it could just be that he's getting a lot of buzz because people don't like the Dion and the Colorado flash and all of that. I would be very, very surprised if it's not Travis Hunter holding that thing up on Saturday.
No, I think you're right. And Colorado's more marketable than Boise State. Plays in bigger conference. Plays against
Boise State is in the playoff.
Better competition. But he helped lead Boise State to the playoff. And their lone loss was to the only undefeated team in the country in Oregon. Number one seed in college football playoffs. So.
Yeah, and I think they lost by single digits, too.
He ran for over 200 on them.
Yeah.
So.
But Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House is upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere located at 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. They are open Tuesday through Saturdays for the rest of December. So, good hours to go get some grub.
Absolutely. Can't go wrong. And if you're looking for a space to hold an event, for your company or organization,
yes,
they got space for that as well. So I know the owner there, Bryce Romine, has been hosting a lot of companies' Christmas parties during the evenings lately. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, sir. All right. What do you want to talk about now?
College football playoff.
All right.
Since we were talking about Oregon being the one seed. So the bracket came out. I guess, what were your initial thoughts? What was your surprise in the seedings, or as far as what teams got in, what teams got left out? Do you think the committee got it right with the 12 teams in? Let's start.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, SEC fans can whine and complain and all that, but SMU getting in over Alabama. Alabama lost three games, including two of them to 6-6 teams. And they've started to move the goalposts a little bit by creating this stat. Oh, teams 500 or better. What are their records against? So that just makes their strength of schedule look better. And they're whining about strength of schedule and all of that. We played too hard a schedule. Nobody lost games in the non-con in the SEC. They lost to a 6-6 Oklahoma, 6-6 Vanderbilt. SMU, should that score have held where it was, instead of them fighting back, we might be saying something differently. But it would have set a really bad precedent should an Alabama get in, which would just show you that they, value the SEC and the TV deal with ESPN significantly more than they do actual resume, which SMU had. So for the most part, I thought they got it right. As far as seedings, it's interesting that Penn State did themselves a favor losing.
Oh, my gosh. Easiest path of anybody there.
They get SMU at home, then at Boise State, and then Notre Dame or Georgia, likely.
Neutral against Boise.
Is it a neutral? Yeah, which definitely helps Penn State.
Only round ones played on campus, then the quarterfinals, semifinals, championships, neutral. I agree with my dad. I wish after the round one games they could reseed everything.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's fair for Oregon to be the lone undefeated team, number one seed. You have to play the winner of Tennessee, Ohio State.
Yeah, that's tough.
I just don't think that's fair. But
yeah, we've said this in a couple other sports. I wish they'd do it in baseball. I wish they'd do it, wherever else. Even the NCAA tournament, you almost wish they could reseed them sometimes once they hit Sweet 16 or Elite Eight.
Yeah.
But to get your best teams in there, which they, I mean, for the most part, they have. But yeah, it's there'll be some changes to it. I mean, this is the first year of the 12 team, and I think Alabama will line enough that they'll bump it up to 16 teams. And next thing you know, you got 42 teams in it. It's going to last 3 months. And
Well, it is expanding. That was already announced a while back. Trying to figure out what year it's expanding to. I believe it's 2026, but I don't know if it's the 14 or 16.
No, okay.
Yeah, because that was announced when they announced it was going to be 12 for 2 years and then expand for some reason. They announced that ahead of time. But, yeah, I thought Notre Dame deserved a better seed than 7.
I agree.
I thought they were going to be 5, maybe 6. Clemson, 12, that's fine because they lost 3 games. And
yeah.
Hey, heck of a win by them, though. Dabo does it again. I don't know about these buys. I don't really understand how they work. Oregon, I'm fine with. Even Georgia, I'm fine with. You won what's arguably the best conference, you know, SEC. Yeah. But Boise State and Arizona State, I don't understand how. Or Arizona State was a conference champ. Okay.
But Clemson was too.
Yeah. I guess Boise State have a 1 loss and Clemson 3 loss, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I don't really understand.
I know Notre Dame can't have a bye. That's part of it. Yeah, just interesting.
Arizona State is maybe the most interesting story of anyone besides Indiana. I mean, Indiana, well, both, you could say both are the same, essentially.
Sure.
Arizona State lost, I think, 9 games last season.
3-9, yep.
And they were projected in the preseason poll to finish 16th out of 16 teams. Yep. And they go and have an unbelievable year. Bo Scadaboo, the first time I've watched him all season or even heard his name, really. Big bruising running.
Got some all star in him.
He does. That's exactly what I was thinking when I was watching him. He's got a little bit of wiggle too, where he can make guys miss and run guys over. He's fun to watch. And then of course you have Indiana, their Indiana football, and found them, you know, winning 11 of 12 games and making it. So those are, in my opinion, the two biggest stories of the playoff. The rest, you got a bunch of blue bloods in there, but
Well, and of course, in the Midwest, especially in the state of Indiana, where I reside, and you used to reside, it's all anybody's talking about right now is number 10 seed Indiana at number 7 seed Notre Dame. I mean, these two teams haven't played since Jerome Bettis was suiting up for the Irish. They're supposed to play here in, like, I think 3 or 4 years from now, a regular season game. And, you know, it's funny. You know, for years, I've always been asked, who would you root for? IU against Notre Dame. And I always said, I think I'd root for IU. Now, I've switched course. I've made up my mind for the first time in my life and the only time, unless they meet again, I'm rooting for Notre Dame come December 20th because I think when I had that in mind, I was thinking regular season, you know, big whoop. But now we're talking playoffs. There's a lot at stake. And to be honest, even though I don't like anything about Notre Dame, I don't hate Marcus Freeman. Right. If Brian Kelly's coaching, maybe we're having a different conversation.
Yeah. It's also one of those things. Notre Dame's been good for a long time now. Indiana hasn't been. You don't want to see this upstart Indiana team. That you hate significantly.
Yep.
Win as well. You can deal with Notre Dame winning because they've been good and they've been in the playoff before.
Very true.
That's the way my brain works anyway.
You're right.
And I'll probably I'm not sorry. What am I talking about? I will probably be rooting for Notre Dame as well. It might be one of those games where I just don't watch because I just don't
I know. That's what I'm telling myself.
Terrible to watch, but I know it'll be on TV at some point in my house on that day.
Yeah, it's a Friday night. It's an ESPN game because ESPN's got the rights. Yeah. So the first time since 1990, a Notre Dame home game is telecast by somebody other than NBC. Pretty fascinating stuff.
Yeah, and this has got to be the latest game ever played at Notre Dame Stadium as far as football goes, college football goes. So it'll be interesting to see what the weather is because, I mean, December 20th, it can be snowing like mad. It could be cold. Could be 50 degrees. Who knows?
Yeah, we do get two matchups where warmer weather teams are playing in a cold environment. Tennessee at Ohio State, SMU at Penn State.
Yeah, so, it could be could be nasty weather for those teams. And usually weather doesn't play a role really in college football that much other than rain. I mean, you can have some cold, but you rarely at the Division I level see snow games. At the FBS level, I mean, you see sometimes the FCS schools out like Wes and Montana and all that get snow during their playoff games. But FBS level, I mean, it'll be a lot of times teams first – time ever playing in the snow should snow happen. It could again be 50 degrees and disappoint me greatly.
Yep. And it'll be interesting. You know, we've joked about on this podcast before, a lot of fans in the state of Indiana are what I like to call reversibles. Mm-hmm. They like Indiana basketball, Notre Dame football. So it'll be interesting to see if this matchup kind of splits it like the Bears Colts Super Bowl 41 kind of did, or if they're going to be like, we're happy no matter who wins.
Yeah, there. So. Or I mean, there's a high probability of them just spontaneously combusting too. that will be interesting. I don't know too many reversibles. For the most part, the people I know are like diehard IU or diehard Notre Dame football and don't really care about basketball
that
much. But they don't really root for Indiana basketball.
Right.
So you have it significantly worse than I do.
So that'll be interesting. And ticket prices so far for that game are higher than all the rest of the playoff games. So
it's reaching four figures.
crazy.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth it to spend that amount of money on a non-championship football game.
Well, let's be honest. Notre Dame will be back in this, but Indiana, who knows?
That's a good point.
Who knows?
Still, the TV watching experience is so good these days.
Especially when it's cold outside.
Especially when it's cold outside. Have to factor that in as well. But
we'll save our predictions for next week. Okay. Since the games don't start till next weekend. But I just wanted your thoughts on it because I thought it was pretty interesting. I mean, I thought the only team that could probably make an argument is Alabama. I didn't think Miami could really make an argument.
No, Ole Miss and South Carolina were kind of whining for it too. Yeah. Brett Bielema was hilarious on Twitter. He was like, kind of making fun of these guys by putting, you know, the Illinois metrics up against like the Ole Miss. He'd like comment on Lane Kiffin's like, actually Illinois played a harder strength of schedule than you guys did today or this year. So I mean, SEC fans just whine. And I've never seen like a conference kind of come together like that, because in the Big Ten, you know, if this would happen to Michigan, we'd all be laughing at them. No one would feel bad for them at all, or really any other Big Ten team besides your own team. We would not be, you know, uniform in trying to whine to the committee or anything. But SEC fans, regardless of who you root for, have been whining about Alabama or Ole Miss or South Carolina, and it's just kind of disgusting, in my opinion.
And you know, one thing that's definitely lost its luster that – up to 3 or 4 years ago was still a big deal, these other bowl games.
Yeah, no one cares.
And everybody waiting for the matchups. Yeah. But I was laughing. You know, I'm like, I wonder how many bowls have switched sponsors in the last few years. So I was just looking through some of these, and some of these bowl names are unbelievable anymore. Where's the one that Colorado State's in? Now I'm not going to be able to find it. You got the Pop-Tarts Bowl. That's actually a good matchup, Miami against Iowa State.
That's always fun, too, because you got the Pop-Tart mascots out there.
The Arizona Bowls, Colorado State and Miami, Ohio. I thought that was one that Snoop Dogg was in the title, but maybe it's not. I swore I saw Snoop Dogg was in the title of a bowl. I thought it was the Arizona Bowl. Huh. Well, that kind of killed that segment. But still so many bowls, many bowls.
And you know, so many people opting out. I mean, they put Michigan and Alabama together, and who's going to play for either team? They're just going to opt out. So,
and I used to look forward to, my dad used to do his annual bowl picks.
Yeah, that was awesome.
The way college football is now, there's no point in doing it because you don't know up until the last minute who's playing in these things anymore. So it's just not.
Yeah, that was always fun.
It was.
It made bowl season a lot more interesting, and now I'll just maybe have the games on, but I won't really be watching because, again, you barely know the players who are out there playing because all the good players are opting out to stay healthy.
Right. It will be interesting with Colorado to see what happens with Shadir and Travis because they don't want to play. But Dion's like, you guys are playing. So we'll see who wins out there.
I respect Dion for that, for sure.
Boy, he's gonna feel bad when he blows a knee out.
Yeah, especially his own son.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. And you would think the coach would win out, but who knows at this point? Maybe he'll come to his senses.
yeah, who knows at this point is true. And one thing I want to do before we talk about Purdue's new football hire, since we are at the end of college football season now, I wanted to go back and see how our conference, our Power Four conference preview or predictions went, standing predictions.
I'm glad you kept them because I only kept the Big Ten one.
Yeah, so Big Ten, we both had Oregon winning. Mm-hmm. We had Ohio State runner-up with – I had Penn State fourth. You had Penn State third, so you were closer. I had Iowa third.
Well, their schedule looked so easy.
You had Washington fourth, USC fifth.
Yikes.
I had Penn State fourth. Like I said, I had Nebraska fifth. I had Nebraska, Michigan sixth. You had Iowa sixth. You had Michigan seventh, Nebraska eighth. I had USC seventh. I had Rutgers eighth. I had Washington ninth, Wisconsin 10th. That was a big whiff. You had Wisconsin ninth, Michigan State 10th, Rutgers 11th, Maryland 12th. I had Purdue 11th, Indiana 12th. Whiffed on both of those. 13th, you had Illinois, and then Northwestern 14th, UCLA 15th. I had Maryland 13th, Illinois 14th, Michigan State 15th. I had Minnesota 16th, UCLA 17th. Northwestern 18th, you had UCLA 15th, Indiana 16th, Purdue 17th, Minnesota 18th.
So, Minnesota won 7 games this year, I think.
Yeah, we were a little off there. Where's the other ones at? Maybe I thought I had them all saved. Let's see here. Here we go. SEC, we both had Georgia winning. You had Alabama runner-up. I had Ole Miss runner-up. Mm. So we both missed there. We both had Vanderbilt last. We did have Mississippi State second to last. So
yeah, they were terrible.
And we both had Tennessee sixth. So Texas, I had fourth. You had third. So let's see here. Big 12, big old whiff by us. We both had Utah.
Yeah, they were projected preseason. So I think they came in ranked 12th and were projected to win the Big 12, and they were just not good.
And I had Kansas State second. You had Oklahoma State second.
And I think they went 3-9.
They did.
And Mike Gundy is back. That was a question, and he shouldn't be, honestly.
Arizona State, you had last. I had second to last. So we whiffed badly on that one. Yeah. Let's see. ACC. I had Clemson with Florida State as the runner-up. You had Florida State with Miami as the runner-up.
Good job. How's this? Yeah.
SMU, you had seventh, and I had them sixth. So we both didn't really have them on the radar there.
Man, we're terrible at these.
Not good. Not good. And I don't have Notre Dame, but I think we both had them going 11-1.
Yeah. If
I'm not mistaken. So we nailed down the head. Now, neither of us predicted Northern Illinois. Beat it up.
Yeah, I think the one loss I had them having was
I had A&M, and I want to say you had Florida State or USC.
USC. Yeah. Florida State or USC.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, yeah.
Yeah, we're not good at these predictions. Our NFL ones are even going to be worse.
I know. I'm dreading that one.
I mean, I had the Jets winning 14 games, and they're knocked out of the playoffs. So. Yes, I'd like to talk about Purdue's new head coach, Barry Odom. He's become Purdue's 38th head coach, I believe, in university history. I'm happy about this hire. This, when I came out with the initial top five a week ago today, and he was number two on my top five list. Jamie Chadwell from Liberty was my number one. I don't ever think he was even in consideration. Followed by number three was Summerall from Tulane, which I believe Purdue at least spoke to him.
And Summerall staying, you know.
Yep, he took his name out of out of consideration. And then I had Tyson Helton, number four. And then my number five pick was Montana State's coach, which I don't even think he was in.
I remember that, yeah.
Barry Odom is a defensive-minded head coach. I know that is the one thing I'm hearing about Purdue fans that don't like this hire. They wanted an offensive-minded head coach. I could care less.
Hire good coordinators.
Yes, exactly. I know in Purdue's history, it's always been offensive-minded head coach that has had success. But I just wanted somebody that could win ball games, be a CEO, run the football operations how they're supposed to be ran. It's kind of, he had his first team meeting today, and it, rumor in the window on the message boards have it, he kicked three guys out of team meeting. That's funny. So one of them, their phone went off.
Oh, he kicked them out.
Because he kicked them out. And the other two showed up late.
Oh, not going to put up with that.
Said, if you're going to do that again, don't show up. So,
wow.
Yeah. Yep. So, which is good because I think my guess is the last coaching staff with their youth and everything they experienced, I think they let the players get away with quite a bit.
Yeah. Which would make sense.
If you're taking over a program that's 1-11, it's went 5-19 the last 2 years, you got to lay down the groundwork pretty quickly. And they had one defensive back jump into portal today. So,
Probably right after the meeting.
Probably.
That is funny. Like, who's stupid enough to show up late to the first team meeting with a new head coach? What a terrible first impression.
Supposedly it was two of the four Georgia guys they got last year.
Shocker. So,
yeah.
They barely played anyway because they.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
the reason why they're not at Georgia anymore too.
So we'll see. He's got his press conference tomorrow at 9:00. It is open to the public, which is different. Purdue usually doesn't do that. Hmm. I think they're holding it at Mackey Arena actually. So that'll be interesting to see what he's got to say. But I'm more interested in what coordinators, what staff is he bringing, and what can he do in the portal? What guys can he get to come out of the portal and back to Purdue? Because a lot of Purdue's heavy hitters are in the portal right now, which I understand. They didn't have a head coach. They want to explore their options.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to get those guys back. He's got to hit the portal hard, and hopefully he can bring some recruits with him from UNLV as well. Because UNLV was a very senior-dominant team. So I don't think he'll bring a ton of guys with him. Probably some, but not a ton with him. He is bringing both of his sons. His one son is a linebacker, was a linebacker for UNLV, and the other one was an incoming freshman quarterback who actually Purdue offered, and so did Louisville and some other Power Four schools. So we'll see. But and I know, like, I think what makes a lot of people nervous is he was fired from Missouri after 4 years, even though he went 500 at Missouri. And in his first year at Missouri, he went 4-8, but then he went 7-6, 8-5, and then 6-6, and then they canned him.
Yeah.
So actually, he was 21-25 when you take bowl games into consideration, 11-19 at conference at Missouri.
He took over for Pinkel, right?
Right.
There, who had a ton of success there. And it's tough to follow a guy like that. And you had success right away for them. I mean, you didn't year one, but I mean, it's very clear that he can build a program. 6-6 is disappointing for sure. Yes. Only given 4 years there. And then he goes to UNLV. The thing that would make me nervous about UNLV is the thing that would make me excited is UNLV for years have been terrible.
Trash. Yeah.
And he won 10 games there this year.
Right.
So I don't know how he built that, if he kept players from the previous staff or if he went and just portal.
It sounds like he's pretty portal heavy.
Yeah.
At least the first year. And then the recruiting class he had coming in this upcoming year was supposedly rated the highest in the Midwest, Mountain West, which Mountain West isn't that great of a conference.
Right.
And if you're a three-star caliber player and maybe Las Vegas is pretty enticing, probably a little more enticing than West Lafayette. More distractions, though, too. A lot more distractions. But so we'll see. I mean, he was 19-8 at UNLV, 12-3 in conference. You and I saw him beat Purdue 40-37 shootout.
Was he the coach there?
He was the coach there. Oh. He was fired after the 2019 season. He had Drew Locke there for 17-18. So Purdue went 1-1 against him. They drubbed him in 17 down in Columbia, but then lost and Ross stayed there. So I'm sure he's got a nice pay bump. He was only making $1.5 million at UNLV.
Sure. Yeah.
I haven't seen contract details, but I got to think if Ryan Walters was making $4 million a year, he's probably in that $6 million range, $5.5 million, $6 million range. But like I said, I want to know how much he's getting to be able to spend on his staff. That's what
The salary pool for your staff is honestly bigger than your own salary because you need to be able to spread the wealth. And I know it wasn't Graham Harrell making $1 million last year?
Yeah, first coordinator in Purdue history,
and he was a disaster. Yep. So it's always fun when you hire a new coach just to see what kind of staff they can put together and get excited about that.
We'll see if he can bring Brendan Marion with him. He's the innovator of this go-go offense. That kind of took Storm out in UNLV, this triple option, but it's not really an option offense. It's more, it's a run first offense, but they still throw for over 3,000 yards. It's a fast tempo. I'm hoping he can come along, but he'll probably have some other offense coordinator opportunities, and or he could be named UNLV's new head coach. I don't know. So, but I'm happy with it, but I've always been happy with Purdue hires, and more times than not, I end up being sad. So it's all said and done. But I don't think Purdue has to worry about him going back to Missouri, where that's his alma mater since they fired him. So
yeah, that would kind of tick you off enough to not want to go back. Yeah.
48 years old. So
yeah, I can't imagine Missouri fans would be overly thrilled if he would to be hired again.
Right,
it's a little different if he leaves on his own volition and then he comes back. But
they've done well since him. They had a rough first 2 years, but the last two or three have been really good for Missouri. So. Which I was looking up. I'm like, dummy. I'm like, did he ever coach against Illinois? I didn't realize that series stopped in 2010. I would have never guessed that.
It's sparking back up here either next year or two years. I can't remember.
I always enjoyed watching that from an outsider. I always thought they were usually pretty good games. But
yeah, I don't think I've ever seen Illinois win one. Maybe
no, it looked like they won like one out of last like, how many? Yeah.
Yeah. In fact,
basketball, you guys dominate though. So
they won last year. That's about it, though. It's been a rough go. I'm already dreading that game. It's two weeks away, and I'm just like,
well, they did just beat Kansas, but Kansas
they did just beat Kansas. So
they got it out of their system. They got it out of their system.
But pick six here before we get any further. Unless you got any more thoughts on Barry
Odom. No, I don't.
Actually, if you do, he's in my pick six. So if you think it's something. Starting with the first guy, Juan Soto. We already talked about
him. Richest guy in pro sports history. And I guess my dog's either a fan or not a fan of that, as he yells here in the background.
Dad, why couldn't you hit a baseball?
I just wish he wouldn't have gone to the Mets. I would have. He could have been a Red Sox for all I care over the Mets. And really? I just can't. I'm a weird Yankee fan that really doesn't like the Mets.
Yeah. Barry Odom.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's a good hire, but he is about the – just looking at him, he looks like a Purdue-type guy. He looks
Midwestern like a football coach.
Yeah, he is from Oklahoma, but kind of looks like – some things I read him, he kind of reminds me of Danny Hope and more polished.
Yeah. I was going to put a cat in one of them things.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Danny Hope.
I always have a soft spot for the guy. I was a manager under him for 2 years, and I thought he kind of got a raw deal. I mean, he was a very mediocre coach, but he was the only coach in Big Ten at the time not making $1 million. His staff was the least paid staff. If he had the resources in the backing, I think he could have done a little better. But at the end of the day, he didn't beat the teams he needed to beat. He'd always upset somebody he wasn't supposed to, but he never took care of the quote-unquote bye games. So,
Daryl Hazel.
I still think he's the worst coach in Purdue history. Of course, you can make an argument that Ryan Walters is. Yeah. He won 9 games in 3.5 years. It's just bad. He was assistant coach for the Vikings the year after. But that was his only job. And now he's 60 years old and probably will never coach in football again. So.
Yeah. Jeff Brohm.
Innovative offense. We'll always be happy for what he did where he got Purdue out of the cellar. Dumpster fire. Hopefully Odom can do the same thing because it's very similar to when Brohm took over. 6 good years, a lot of highs and some lows, only 2 games over 500. But it's interesting, ever since he's been down at Louisville, more and more has been leaked out about quote unquote Brohm Corp and how difficult the family was to not his family, he didn't mean your family, but the brothers and just the whole sense was to get along with.
So, yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Brohm was one of those guys. You could beat the Ohio States and then they'd lose to Northwestern the next week or something.
Hope-like, but more consistent, but hope-like.
Last one here, your dude, Ryan Walters.
Yeah, I wish it would have worked out for him. I hope he lands on his feet.
I'm sure he will.
It was pretty respectable of him to do a question and answer as of last Tuesday with goldenblack.com, which is the main source for Purdue football and Purdue sports. And he was pretty honest. I mean, I came away thinking he probably wasn't ready for the job when he got it, but why would you turn it down?
Right.
When you get offered, but I think he'll land on his feet as a D coordinator, maybe up as a defensive backs coach somewhere. Mm-hmm. and work his way up. And maybe down the line, he gets a shot to be a head man somewhere else. But it's going to be a while, probably.
It was just bad timing for him, honestly. Yeah. But again, you're not going to turn it down if you get offered it. And
he's 38 years old.
Yeah. He's been a really good defensive coordinator. Yeah. So I can't imagine a school would be scared off just because he didn't have success as a head coach.
You know? But unfortunately, he's going to probably be remembered as the coach who had the two worst losses margin-wise in Purdue football history in the same year. Into your in-state rivals, nonetheless.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah. So that'll do it.
That's the Pick Six segment, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2025, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs. You need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
Breaking news, four Heisman finalists have been announced. Travis Hunter, Ashton Jeanty, Dylan Gabriel, and Cam Ward.
So, I was hoping Army's quarterback would get in there.
Yeah, this will be the J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week. I need a win this week, and hopefully it jinxes it, honestly. J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week is Travis Hunter wins the Heisman this week, unfortunately. I think it should be Jeanty, but J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency. Their building address is 341 West Logan Street, Suite L100 in Noblesville. Life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561. Congrats to Travis on having his own agency. I'm mad at him because now the read has changed.
And, yeah, but he's sending us some nice gifts. I don't know if you know this, J-Man, but he's sending us nice gifts that we should both be getting in the mail sometime soon that you will see us use, I will say, on the podcast. Awesome. I will not. I probably did spoil that clue, but I will not spoil the gift. And I saw a picture of it. I'm like, send one to each of us, and we will use it. So
beautiful.
Yep.
I'll do that.
So you want to get educated real quick?
Let's do it.
Let's talk about some sporting events that have happened on this day on December 9th. Come on, give me some Heisman today. Give me some Heisman. Come on.
There's got to be some Heisman today.
Got to be. Some cricket. This is an interesting one for golfers out here. On this day, 1926, the USGA, the United States Golf Association, legalizes steel shaft golf clubs.
Is that what's still used today?
Yeah. Yeah. Steel and graphite, both.
Okay.
Both. But not wooden. Not wooden.
They need to have a throwback tournament where they use only wood golf clubs.
I've done it with my buddy Andrew Eiler. Back in 2013, we played with all old-fashioned clubs over at what was then Mystic Hills in Culver.
Oh, that's fun.
Feels great when you hit one nice. Oh, when you hit one bad, though. It vibrates up the whole club.
Yeah, probably feels like getting jammed when you're playing baseball or something off the end of the bat.
Yeah. On this day, 1935, the first Heisman Trophy Award was won by Jay Berwanger, halfback for Chicago.
Chicago.
Yeah. Let's see here. On the day, 1949, the NFL merges with AAFC. The Cleveland Browns, San Francisco 49ers, and Baltimore Colts joined the league. Joined league intact, it says. Other teams in New York and Los Angeles are merged with existing units. On this day, 1965, Frank Robinson was traded from the Cincinnati Reds to the Baltimore Orioles.
Hall of Famer.
This is interesting. On this day, 1978, the first game of Women's Pro Basketball League, the WBL, was played between the Chicago Hustle and the Milwaukee Does. Not the Bucks, the Does.
The Does.
That's great. On the day, 1984, LA Ram, Eric Dickerson rushed for 215 yards for a season record of 2,105 yards. On this day, 1985, San Francisco 49ers wide receiver Jerry Rice began an NFL streak of 274 consecutive games with a reception.
It's pretty good. Pretty good little receiver there.
On this day, 1992, Cincinnati Reds owner Marge Schott apologized for racist remarks.
Yeah.
He's not a kind lady.
She was not very, very disliked. And one of the worst owners of all time.
Here we got some Heisman. On this day, 1995, who became the 61st Heisman Trophy Award winner?
95? I don't even know if this guy won. Did Danny Werfel win?
He did, but he won in 96.
Oh, son of a gun. What is it?
Eddie George, the Ohio State University. Them. On this day in 2006, who won the 72nd Heisman Trophy Award?
2006, I think. No. That was Troy Smith.
That was Troy Smith.
Okay.
From the Ohio State University.
I almost said Reggie Bush, but he was the year before.
Yes, he was 05. You're right. And we can say that now since he's got it back.
Yeah.
On this day, 2013, Mike Ditka's number 89 jersey was retired by the Chicago Bears.
The Bears.
On this day, 2013, MLB pitcher Roy Halladay announced his retirement.
Yeah, he unfortunately passed away a few years ago, but man, was he good.
Yes, he was. You don't get the nickname the Doc for nothing.
Yeah.
On this day, 2017, who won the 83rd Heisman Trophy Award?
2017, was that Derrick Henry?
It was not. Henry was 16, I believe.
Oh, my God. Man, 2017.
No, no, 16 was Lamar. I think Derrick Henry was...
18? 15.
He was 15.
He's been in the NFL that long?
He was 15. Yeah.
Goodness. 2017, what position?
Quarterback.
I'm blanked. I'm flat out blanking.
Baker Mayfield.
Oh.
Because 18 then was Kyler. 19 was Burrow. So that's what's telling me 15 was
him. Yeah, had to have been. Yeah.
No. What? Okay, I'm going to read these two. I'm going to see if these make sense. On this day in 2018, Green Bay quarterback Aaron Rodgers breaks Tom Brady's NFL record with his 359th straight pass without an interception during the Packers' 34-20 win over the Atlanta Falcons. Finished the game with streak intact at 368. Okay, they didn't play each other. That's where I was confused. So also on this day in 2018, New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady broke Peyton Manning's record for most touchdown passes in NFL history, moved to 582 with three touchdown passes during the loss, 34-33 loss to the Miami Dolphins.
It was the Miami Miracle on this day.
Yes.
I didn't realize he broke the record because all I can remember was, Kenyon Drake outrunning for some reason Rob Gronkowski was in on defense. Which made no sense because they weren't in Hail Mary range at all.
No.
Like they were at like the 30, their own 30. They're not, Tannehill couldn't launch it that far. So they're going to have to do some laterals. And it was a very stupid decision by, I think, was Matt Patricia there then? Or was he with Detroit in 18? I don't remember. Whoever's decision it was, it might have been Belichick's decision to have Gronk out there, but he's not catching Kenyon Drake.
Belly Boy could be the Tar Heels' next head coach.
That is fascinating. Should it happen?
Well, I read a rumor. I don't know how credible it is. I read a rumor where part of the deal is his son would be the coach in waiting.
I think it's true because I read that too. And Tom Fornelli said something about it today too. Well,
there we go. He's pretty.
He's very credible. So I can't see his thing working in college football, but who knows? It's different. Yeah,
three more on this day, real quick. On this day, 2021, Chicago Blackhawks, Mark Andre Fleury became the third NHL goaltender to reach 500 career wins in a 2-0 shutout over the Canadiens. Who won the Heisman Trophy on this day last year?
I haven't watched the Heisman in like a couple years. I have no idea.
Jaden Daniels.
Of course he did. I remember now.
Yeah, you do now, you do. And on this day last year, Shohei Ohtani signed a then North America American pro sports record 10-year, $700 million deal with the LA Dodgers.
Chump change.
Chump change now. And that'll do it for this week's On This Day, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them on Facebook and on Instagram at Mooney Woodcrafts is their handle on Instagram. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first signed order. Well, I didn't leave much room for basketball.
That's okay.
Both of our teams took L's last week. Yeah, both frustrating ways. Yeah. So we'll get to it next week. But I wanted to talk a little more NFL than we have in the last few weeks. So here we are, and let's do our three winners or losers for week 14.
Seattle Seahawks going on the road to Arizona and just hammering them. For the most part, they're now sitting there at 7-5 and winning that division week 12. No one could have seen that coming. They're all jumbled together. You have the Rams right there. Rams are over 500. Niners are still creeping, just back in the shadows a little bit. Rams, as I said, are over 500 now. Cardinals are right there as well. So it's the most competitive division in the NFL. And I don't know if any of the teams are overly great, but Seahawks are winning there right now.
Yeah, no, good pick indeed there. Let's see, I got to remember the scores from yesterday's games. I didn't have these even prepared this week. Let's see. I'll go back to Thursday night and take the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
A good home win against a good Packer team, and they're just decimated by injuries right now, especially on the defense side of the ball, but they keep on winning. So now they just need to get healthy.
Yeah, Dan Campbell going for it on fourth down is going to catch up with him.
It is
100%. It almost caught up with him. I understand the thought process and why he did it. Still probably not a great move. Right. The thought process was, okay, we get a first down. We can no time left, then kick the field goal.
Yep.
If you kick the field goal now, you give Jordan Love, 45, 50 seconds to, drive down and kick a field goal. They're out of timeouts, though. But in today's NFL, it's pretty easy to get down in field goal range in 40 seconds.
Right.
So I understand that. But, man, Goff trips. He hands the ball off with his knee on the ground even. And I saw some idiots saying, he should have been down right there because he's taking a knee. No, it's not college for one.
No, you got to get touched.
It's going to catch up with him. It hasn't yet, though. Going to continue being aggressive. But
shout out to Tim Patrick, former Denver Broncos. Yeah, I always liked Timmy. Two touchdowns, and the first one he had was the first one since 2021.
So. Yeah, cool. My second winner, the LA Rams, gave up, 9 touchdowns to Josh Allen, and they still found a way to win. Bills did kind of bungle the end of that game, but good win for the Rams. They're now over 500. They've played some good football here the past couple weeks.
That division's fascinating, the NFC West now. My number two winner is your Miami Dolphins. I thought they were toast. Yeah, I was like, sorry, Jamin, I was rooting against them because I'm like, I want them to get in and the Broncos not make it. But they made plays when they needed to, and a great, beautiful drive in overtime to win the game.
Yeah. In the 7 games, Tua's been back from concussion, 15 touchdowns, only one interception. If he kept a full season's pace of that, he'd be probably the MVP, but
and we're not talking about them missing out on the playoffs if he's healthy. I don't think so.
No, I'm with you. I think they have at least 3 more wins. Probably they beat Tennessee. I think they win in Seattle, and they definitely beat the Colts. So, but hey, as Tua said this week, it's my fault. I've got to stay upright. I've got to stay healthy. So he's taking ownership for it. My final winner is the Minnesota Vikings. They keep getting it done. Keep getting incredibly fortunate, although Darnold was fantastic yesterday, 5 touchdowns. And they have another easy one this week against the Bears. So they keep winning.
I'm going to go with the New Orleans Saints as my last winner. I know they beat the putrid New York Giants, and the Giants are awful, and they blocked the 35-yard field goal. But, new interim head coach, getting the win there while your quarterback breaks his left hand.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll be able to put the Saints in the winners category the rest of the year. So that's why I'm using there.
Yeah.
3 losers. Starting with, I'm going to start with the LA Chargers. I mean, they slow start, down 13-0 at half, got it going in the second half, but I know the Chiefs have some black voodoo magic going on.
They do.
The only way to describe it. Every week it's like, drama-filled way that you can't believe they won. Like, this week, it's like, all right, here they go again. Chip shot field goal. But not only that, he hooks it. It hits the upright. It goes in with a backup kicker, a third-string kicker, whatever he is. I don't know.
Mahomes on a third down late just kind of threw a little fluttery pass right into a guy's bread basket there for the first down, too. So,
but now, you know, with that loss, the Chargers are tied with – they do have the tiebreaker, but they're tied with the Ravens and the Broncos there at 8-5. Things are getting interesting from seeds 5 through 7 in the AFC.
Yeah. My first loser, I took the Vikings as a winner. I don't like doing this, but the Atlanta Falcons. Kirk Cousins has thrown over his last 3 games, 8 interceptions and 0 touchdowns. It's time to really think about going to Penix. Because that's a very, very winnable division, bad division. I mean, I don't think Tampa Bay is world beaters by any stretch of the imagination. And need some sort of spark because Kirk's not getting her done.
No, I agree with you. My next loser. Oh, man, it's tough to find losers this week. I'm going to go with the Bears. 38-13. They look lifeless. They look lifeless. They are. I don't know if they'll win another game.
Yeah. The Jets are my second loser, eliminated from the playoffs. 14 straight years without it. Aaron Rodgers has like a $40 million cap hit next year. I knew he was going to have a throwback the clock game, and he was good. Still wasn't good enough, though.
Nope. And my last loser, I'm going to put the Cardinals in there, Arizona Cardinals. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was kind of a toss-up game, but I thought they'd win at home, and they did not look good from start to finish yesterday. No.
Tennessee Titans, my last loser. Terrible, terrible loss. I mean, not that a win would have done anything, but Mac Jones is putrid, and he keeps winning. They lost to him. So
yeah. Let's fly through these games. No bye weeks this week. That's how I like it. I like it. NFC West game. We were just talking about the NFC West Thursday night. LA Rams at the San Francisco 49ers.
Big one. I'm taking the home team though. Big though for 13 points.
I'm taking the Rams for 7. So right away, we're on opposite sides. Yeah. So, Kansas City Chiefs at the Cleveland Browns.
Well, give me the Chiefs for 12.
I got the Chiefs for 15. The Browns yesterday, it was there. So they've been back in Cleveland since 98. I believe it was their 16th time having 10 or more losses in a season.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Yep. So the Cincinnati Bengals at the Tennessee Titans.
Cincinnati for 11.
I got the Bengals for 8. I do wish I could watch them play against the Saints or against the Cowboys, though, tonight. Speaking of the Saints, they are hosting the Washington Commanders.
I have Washington for 2.
I got Washington for 11.
Yeah.
So, Baltimore Ravens at New York Giants.
Baltimore for 16.
I got the Ravens for 16.
Drew Lock started like 11 for 30 yesterday.
He just doesn't do anything. Doesn't throw touchdowns. Just very conservative. And that's not the way he was supposed to play football. He didn't play in college. Yeah, his confidence is a shot. Cowboys at Panthers.
Give me the Cowboys for 7. Panthers are playing better.
At the Panthers for 6. They're close. They're close. Uh-huh. They probably should have won that game yesterday. Yeah. Talk about a team that's on fire, but yet I get weird vibes. The Eagles. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jets at Jaguars. That'll be a fun one.
Jets for 10.
Jaguars for 3. Wow, we are all over the place tonight.
Jaguars are terrible. Mac Jones is going to play, likely.
I don't think the Jets are good.
Jets are bad, but if they lose to them, I just can't imagine them losing to the Jags. But again, Jets are terrible.
Dolphins at Texans.
Dolphins for 3. They're winning out. You can take it to the bank.
Texans for 5. We're all over the place. This is awful. One of us is going to smash the other one. Indianapolis Colts at the Denver Broncos. I'm dreading this game.
I got the Colts. I'm just kidding. I'm taking Denver for 8.
I got Broncos for 9, but I'm dreading it. Actually, I got my wife's Christmas party right during the game. So
fun.
I don't know how much I'll be able to watch. That could be a good thing. Bills at Lions. Great game. Great game.
I have the Bills for 1. They bounce back. Lions are due for a loss.
I got the Bills for 1 as well. Battle for Philadelphia. Pittsburgh Steelers at the Philadelphia Eagles.
Battle for Pennsylvania.
That's what I meant. Right after I said that, I'm like, the idiot. That's not right. After I said that.
Philadelphia for 15. Pittsburgh keeps proving me wrong. Wow.
I got the Eagles for 2. I think that's going to be a good game. Patriots at Cardinals.
Give me the Cardinals for 9.
Got the Cardinals for 12. Buccaneers at Chargers.
Give me the Chargers for 4.
Got the Chargers for 10. Packers at Seahawks.
Give me the Packers for 5.
I got the Packers for 4. Bears at Vikings. One of 2 Monday night games.
Give me the Vikings for 14.
I got the Vikings for 13 and Falcons at Raiders that lost another quarterback. Aiden O'Connell out for the year.
Give me Atlanta for 6.
Atlanta for 14. I got no faith in Desmond Ridder whatsoever. So. Birdie or bogey, since 1992, there's been 3 teams that have had 4 Heisman Trophy winners. Can you name them?
Alabama.
Alabama is one with Mark Ingram, Devontae Smith, Derrick Henry, and Bryce Young.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma is one. Jason White, Sam Bradford, Kyler Murray, and Baker Mayfield.
There's one more with 4, huh?
Yep.
It's going to make me mad when I hear it when I don't get it. Florida.
Oh, so close.
Oh, no.
Not Florida. Florida only had 2 in Tebow and Warfel.
I was counting Tebow twice. Tebow didn't win twice. He only won once. You idiot.
USC, Carson Palmer, Matt Leiner, Reggie Bush, and Caleb Mother. Williams.
I should have got that. That makes me mad. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. We will be back at it next Monday. Hopefully, we'll be able to talk some college hoops. Hopefully, we'll both be happy this week. We'll see. Illinois's got a tough schedule this week. I don't know what Purdue's schedule is looking like.
A&M, Saturday. A&M down in Indy.
They'll beat A&M. Illinois has Wisconsin tomorrow. The number one Tennessee comes to Champaign on Saturday. I won't be able to watch it. So,
Could be a good thing.
But it could be a good thing. Thanks for watching, everybody.